Well, Peter is one of the most complex and interesting characters in the Bible. Peter was naturally impulsive. He was tender-hearted and affectionate. He was gifted with spiritual insights, and yet sometimes slow to understand deeper spiritual truths. He was fiercely loyal to Jesus, saying even to him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet sometimes Peter stumbled in his efforts to walk with him. Famously, when attempting to walk on water with Jesus, he grew afraid and began to sink. When Jesus taught that he would need to suffer and to be killed, Peter went so far as to rebuke Jesus and was in turn rebuked by Jesus. Jesus warned Peter that he would deny him three times. And Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." In one of the most heartbreaking moments in all of Scripture, as Jesus stood trial, Peter did deny him three times. The rooster crowed, Peter realized what he had done, and he wept bitterly, the lowest point in his walk with God. But today, we're going to focus on Peter's redemption arc and how he rose quickly from this low point to become a bold, spirit-filled leader in the book of Acts. And we'll see how the Holy Spirit, given at Pentecost, helped to transform Peter, giving him greater understanding, guiding his actions, and empowering him to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. So the title, if you're taking notes today, is "The Transformative Power of the Holy Spirit." So let's start on Pentecost. You can turn to Acts 2 if you like, and I'll summarize things to get us started. On Pentecost Day, the disciples were gathered as they had been instructed, and a sound like a rushing, mighty wind filled the house. Tongues of fire appeared and rested on each of them, and they began to speak in tongues, speaking languages that they didn't even know. Some bystanders mocked the disciples, accusing them of being drunk. And Peter stands up and addresses everyone at the beginning of verse 14, and that's going to bring us to our first point today. So today for the sermonette, there are three points. And each point is a quality of the Holy Spirit, and a quality of the Holy Spirit that Jesus mentioned explicitly as when he promised to his disciples and pointed forward to the Holy Spirit. So our first point is from John 14, when Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So point number one is that the Holy Spirit teaches us. So back in verse 14, Peter stands up and speaks, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And Peter goes on to explain the prophetic fulfillment of Joel and Psalm 16. Peter explains the magnitude of what happened at Jesus' crucifixion, that God came willingly to be killed according to God's own plan and foreknowledge, and that the house of Israel had done so, had crucified God in the flesh. And this cut the people to the heart. Down in verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Peter had at times really struggled with Jesus' purpose and mission. After his resurrection, Jesus spent time with the disciples, and now the Holy Spirit had fully opened Peter's mind and understanding. Filled with the Spirit, Peter boldly preached to the crowds, correctly and convincingly interpreting prophecy and calling the people to repentance and baptism. Verse 41 says, "Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the church." And it even says that they continued to steadfastly walk the Christian walk as they went forward. So we see that the Spirit is a teacher and can bring to remembrance what we learn so that we can apply and teach it. Let's add another quality of the Holy Spirit to this. Point number two is that the Holy Spirit guides our steps. Now, Peter's natural demeanor was impulsivity. In the garden at Gethsemane, Peter wanted to defend his Lord and friend, and he broke out his sword. Like other disciples, he had what we might call an earthly kingdom mindset. Like many Jews of his time, he expected the Messiah to establish an earthly kingdom and an immediate relief and rescue from the Roman rule. Now, Jesus is king, but Peter frequently misunderstood the nuance of his mission. Jesus' mission was not to establish an earthly kingdom at that time forged by war and sword. Peter was fiercely loyal, but often misdirected that loyalty. So let's see how the Holy Spirit directly guides him after Pentecost. And we'll turn to Acts 10. And in Acts 10, this is immediately after Peter received a vision about unclean animals. God shows him this vision. God tells him what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And of course, this isn't about food laws. It's about the inclusion of the Gentiles in the body of Christ. And we'll pick up this story in Acts 10 and verse 19. It says, while Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. And Peter realized through this vision and the Spirit's guidance that God was calling him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, breaking down the barriers between Jews and non-Jews. Peter goes with them and preaches again, this time to Cornelius and his household. In verse 44, it says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So here we see Peter is led directly by the Spirit and used by God for great purpose, to spread the gospel to the Gentiles and achieve greater unity within the church. I often wish that God's plan for me was as clear to me as it was to Peter in that story. It reads like he gets very direct and clear direction there, very explicit. But we are promised a helper that will guide us in God's truth. And Jesus described it in John 16 as a spirit of truth that will guide us into all truth. We can pray to God to direct us in the way that we should go and to make our paths clear to us. So the Holy Spirit teaches us and it guides our steps. Let's add one third and final point today. And that's that the Holy Spirit empowers us for boldness and witness. In Acts 4, Peter is dragged before the Sanhedrin. He and John had gone to the temple. They had healed a lame man. They had preached about fulfilled prophecy and about the resurrection. The priests and the Sadducees arrested them, put them in custody, and then dragged them in front of the Sanhedrin. And let's pick up this story in Acts 4 and verse 7. In Acts 4 and verse 7, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, when God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. And in verse 13, it says that they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John because they were uneducated men. The Sanhedrin can't deny the healing and the miracle that is right before them. They decide to threaten Peter and John and tell them to stop speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John say, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. This was a very Jesus way of answering an accuser. Peter asks them a question that they can't answer without convicting themselves. Jesus did this time and time again to his own accusers, and Peter had learned from his master, but moreover, he now has God's Holy Spirit, and Jesus is leading him and speaking through him. Just months ago, before this incident, Peter denied Jesus to a servant girl and bystanders out of fear. It wasn't that long ago, and now he's defending Jesus in front of the court boldly, There's a huge difference in him. Peter, at this point, has seen the resurrection and the evidence that Jesus has power over everything, even death. Peter isn't afraid of death anymore, and he's empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised the disciples they would be. This is the same Holy Spirit that is in us, a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If we ever feel timid or intimidated, if we ever need to give a defense of our faith, we can pray for more boldness. Later in chapter 3, the disciples do just that. They pray for even more boldness so that they can keep going out in the face of persecution and spreading the word of Jesus and the gospel. When they prayed this prayer, the place where they were praying, the building, was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out to preach with even more boldness. The Spirit worked powerfully in Peter's life to help him fulfill God's purpose. And God has also given us that same gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit. The Spirit teaches us, helping us understand God's word and purpose, and bringing that teaching to remembrance when we need it. The Spirit guides our steps and leads us to fulfill God's purpose. And the Spirit empowers us to boldly give witness to our God, the gospel, and the kingdom. So let's go forth with boldness, grateful for this gift, and ready and open for the Spirit to work powerfully through us.